Hello.
Yep, I'm here.
How are you?
I'm great.
Great. How are you? I'm great. So glad you could join us this morning.
I am too.
Yes. So Adil is a father, a husband, a massage therapist, a wellness coach, just an all-around really amazing man that I'm so grateful that I met. We met when I was going through a really difficult time in my personal life. I was getting sick, and I went to get a massage. And when I got up from that massage, my life was changed for the better. Adil introduced me to Nichiren Buddhism, which I've been practicing for 3 years now, and has really transformed my life, has really transformed me to see life through a certain perspective, especially in terms of overcoming obstacles. So Adil, you used to practice Islam, correct?
Correct.
And so what were the things that brought you on the journey to Buddhism?
Well, I think basically it was the time in my life when I realized I was not happy. And my pursuit of my spiritual quest was not fulfilling the inner depth of joy that I wanted to experience and should have. And I initially was introduced to Buddhism when I was in college. And my first understanding or perception that was totally ridiculous. How can you chant the simple words, Nam-myoho-renge-kyo, and become happy? So 7 years later, after being a Muslim for over 7 years, Sunni Muslim, I was living in Boston. Once again, I met a young man who was an SGI Buddhist, and we introduced me to the practice. And I could not refute the fact that I was not happy. So I started chanting, and immediately when I sincerely chanted from my quest of having, you know, stress, I realized something opened up into me like a flower. I started to bloom and realized that my life and my heart started to open up. So I could not refute what I felt when I studied Buddhism, the background, the foundation of it, I could not refute that everything that I felt, it just validated how I really felt about life and how life should be. And that started my journey. It's been 33 years now, and it's not been an ending quest of discovering more and more every day my personal self and how I can reflect and change the world by changing me.
What was the first time you sort of seen, like, I know you're saying that you felt a change in you, you sort of maybe felt your vibration get higher, you had a different sense of life and its purpose. But when was the first time you were like, holy shit, this Buddhism works? Like the first time you've seen actual proof?
Well, the first time I saw actual proof, I said, was the time that basically when I initially chanted in front of what's called the Gohanza, the object of devotion, and the joy just welled up inside of me. My heart just basically opened up. The actual proof is that I was no longer a hostile, angry person. I realized I became more warm and more sincere in my relationship with people, basically.
So I know I've gotten a lot of pushback, like, oh, that's worshiping an idol. Doesn't make sense. What about God?
Well, the whole concept of God from Buddhist perspective is that basically it's something outside yourself. Buddha says basically when you change, your environment changes. So it's about self-reflection and recognize the depth of your life, because the creator, as people know it, right, created you. You are also that one with that source. So Buddha's just make it crystal clear the oneness of life and our ultimate entity that people call God. You know, so there's no separation in Buddhism between you and that which is. It's one and the same. You're just claiming it for yourself. You know, not making it something impersonal, but something personal, very personal. You know, have a true relationship with that which is the depth of your own life.
Why do you think people don't value themselves? Like, how are we taught that so early, not to value ourselves and not to value ourselves?
Well, you know, it's called conditioning. You know, we're born and realize in the sense that, you know, the three major religions do not honor the person. You know, everything is greater than you. You know, you're in Christianity, you're born a sinner. You're condemned from day one. Right?
Yeah.
In Buddhism, in Islam, Allah is the greatest. And then if Allah is the greatest, then what about you? Mm. In Judaism, basically, it's an exclusive club. You can't
wow.
adhere to, if you're not a Jew, then you know they're the chosen people. You know, but what about everybody else? No, but in Buddhism is about you realizing the power in your own life. Buddhism starts with a conclusion, and the conclusion that you are great. But in order to manifest greatness, you have to have what we call problems. Problems are actually the means for us to strengthen our life force, not defeat us. You know, it's like lifting weights. If you want to get stronger, you got to lift heavier weights. Life is the same principle and the same circumstances. Nobody's teaching life, right? Mm-hmm. The truth about life. You have life, and you're clueless how to live it and what it really is. Buddha takes the seal off of life and make it very clear and crystal that every person can embrace this greatness called life, because life is the most precious thing.
All right. So problems. I still haven't figured this out, my life yet. What is the best way to, like, what's the best perspective to have towards problems? Like, sure, saying, oh, my problems help me become stronger. I'm working my muscle. You can say that. Mm-hmm. But when you're in it, when you're in the trenches, like, what's the best perspective to help refocus you so that you overcome the problem?
Well, you know, first of all, I have to realize that nothing is greater than you. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So nothing is greater than you. So your problem, no matter what your problem is, your life is bigger than your problem. Religion means to reconnect, right? Mm-hmm. So basically, nobody wants to have problems. That's what we've been taught, mm-hmm. right? You know, and that's why people take drugs or, you know, opiates or whatever you want to call it. Yeah. Escape from problems, right? The reality of life is, you know, not having problems is the wish of a dead person. As long as you live, you're going to have problems. You have to change your attitude towards your problems, you know? And that's where the practice of chanting, because you have to overcome problems, you need to raise your life condition, just like a ship has buoyancy. It's going to ride high waves and low waves. The purpose of me of life is to be happy, not to suffer. Life is a journey, you know, to discover oneself. You know, life is the most precious thing. You know, the Buddha says one life is more precious than the entire universe, because one life is the entire universe. Because every aspect of life is in the human being. Every element of life is in the human being. You can go down and name all the elements, copper, zinc, all the natural forces of life is in the human body.
Right.
is in our bodies, right? The practice of chanting and practicing Buddhism is to discover the greatness within. When you practice Buddhism, you're not trying to acquire mm-hmm. this greatness. You're possibly revealing this greatness.
Mm. What are the primary elements in Buddhism, like what is to take faith in Buddhism?
The four virtues of the Buddha, the virtues of the Buddha are basically compassion, mm-hmm. wisdom, and courage, right? So it's about believing in yourself, you know, mastering one's life, you know, really honoring and respecting one's life. And as you can respect your own life, you can also respect other life. Buddhism is the only religion never had to declare war on any people. It would spread through dialogue, through respect and dignity, expressing the dignity and respect for life. What made the Buddha was his behavior as a human mm-hmm. being. He was not a deity, just a highly evolved human person, understood life to the core. And his compassion was to share this wonderful thing called the law that is life itself.
Mm-hmm. What do the words Nam-myoho-renge-kyo mean?
Okay, so Nam literally means devotion. Myo means the mystic law. Renge means cause and effect. And kyo means sound and teaching. Right? So that's a literal translation. And that comes into the realm of realizing that making a commitment to the power that's inside of you.
Mm.
Right? There's man-made law. There's universal law. What the Buddha discovered was the law of eternity. That permeates in everything, is in all everything. It says, you know, people say basically that God is everywhere, right? And God sees and knows everything. They're describing life, if you really think about it, mm-hmm. right? So when we chant Nam-myoho-renge-kyo, we're embracing the power that's ultimately is life. And if you embrace the power that's ultimately is life, then you can transform any circumstance you find yourself in. The challenge in Buddhism is to believe in yourself.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Focus on the attitude of experiencing the power inside of you. You know, finding the wisdom to transform any adversity that you find yourself. Because you already have the answer. Lao Tzu says, the great Chinese philosopher says, at the center of life, you know who you are and you know what you want. The problem is, nobody stated the method how to acquire this great revelation, right? So Buddha is a practice to polish the mirror, get rid of the ignorance of yourself and tap into the what we call the enlightened condition of yourself, right? Because other religions promise you salvation. Buddha is about enlightenment. If you're enlightened, you don't need anybody to save you. Hmm. You have the means and the tool and the means and to create the result that you're seeking. And that's very empowering. You no longer depend on anyone or any situation, you know? You don't have this great life to be inferior. You have this great life to be great, to be powerful.
How come it's so scary to believe that? Like, it's actually really scary and shocking to be like, I have power inside of me? Like, you know, like you kind of feel, it feels impossible. It feels like there has to be something bigger than me. There has to be.
Well, that's because the orientation and the training and the education that we have tells that you're inferior, right? Mm. So it's just about people regurgitating what they've been taught. And in doing that, you're not respecting life, because life is the most precious thing.
Right.
You know, so the fear and the unknown and the truth is you. You know, so what people are afraid of is the greatness of the true self, right?
Right, yeah.
So if you have a clear explanation of the true self, why would that be fearful? People don't have a true explanation of the true self. Because people don't know themselves. They know more about God or Allah, but they don't know themselves.
Mm. That was actually my next question on what do you think the biggest human fear is? I think
self.
I think it's death. You don't think it's death?
Well, yeah, but death, yeah. Death. But the Buddha says, until you study death, you won't know how to live.
Right.
You won't understand life. Because death is just the opposite side of existence. Mm-hmm. Like a coin has two sides, the head and the tail, right? Mm-hmm. So life is life and death. Just like life is a temporary state, death is a temporary state. Life is eternal. There's no time you do not exist. Mm-hmm. But the means now you exist has to do with the actions you take while you exist, because cause and effect is strict. It even says in Christianity, you reap what you sow, what goes around comes around. They are stating the universal principle of life.
Yeah.
But they make God superior to the universal principle.
And that made me think of, too, you know, that I remember being raised Christian. One of the biggest things was eternal life. You know, be baptized in the name of Jesus. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. You shall have eternal life. So do you think we misunderstood that?
Yeah, you have eternal life right now. You just not resonate with that that awareness. Hmm. You know, you have eternal life right now. All that you seek in life, you already possess. You're not born without the answer. You're not born without the eternal life, because you come from eternity. This is not your first existence. This is just like a chapter in the book of your life.
I'm still processing that.
Because, you know, look at it this way. You have a body, which is a vessel, right? Mm-hmm. And your spirit is encased in this vessel. So when you die, what is really dying? Nothing other than the vessel. You can't kill the spirit. The spirit transcends.
Yeah.
Right? Because the voice I'm breathing right now, that's not something I can materialize or hold on to. Right? But you can't say my spirit, my voice does not exist, or my spirit does not exist.
Right.
You know? Mm-hmm. So life is eternal from that standpoint that basically you are a spirit having a human experience. And we lose sight of our true self, which is spirit.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think that we live in a violent world?
We live in a violent world because people don't honor and respect life. Life is not the most valuable thing. People value everything other than life. Mm-hmm. You know, they value their car, they value their, you know, job, they value, you know, whatever they possess. Right. Attachment, you know? That's why Nichiren Daishonin, who's called now as the Buddhist reformer, put nam in front of the law. People devote themselves to everything other than life. So therefore, life can be, you know, not honored because not that important.
And what's the way to change that? Like, what, you know, there's all these shootings that are happening. It can be very, there's a lot of people are so depressed.
Yeah.
You know, from the actions of one individual.
I was that person because I wanted, you know, I was, by like Malcolm said, by any means necessary. I lived that philosophy. You know, but you, it's because I had lacked wisdom. I was frustrated.
Right.
You know, but they said, the Buddha said that thing that really captivated me. It says, when you change, environment changes. It's called for you doing your own human revolution.
Right.
You know, a concept that's not widely known, because there's been revolutions all over the world. But when the revolution ends and there's a new regime, right? They have the same mannerism and same behavior of that which they replace.
Right.
Because they're not changed on the fundamental level.
Mm-hmm.
Because who you are is in your heart, not your head, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the true quality of life, the true value of life, compassion, wisdom, courage, that's a condition of the heart, not the mind. Happiness, those are a condition of the heart, not the mind,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So when you the whole purpose and intent of Buddhism is to polish the mirror, bring out the greatness and the beauty in your life. Because happy people don't make other people suffer.
Right.
You know, it's just impossible. You can't, that just does not happen. You know, so the world is going to continue to be violent until people take total personal responsibility for making change happen.
Mm-hmm.
Because nobody's making you suffer other than you, your relationship, what you're experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
And the inferior attachment you have to what you're experiencing. Because you think about it, if everybody knew they were great, would we really have a problem today? I don't think so, because greatness would have no need to conquer greatness.
Right.
There'd be a mutual respect.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So the theme and the message in Nichiren Daishonin Buddhism is that every life is great. The theme method of the Buddhist teaching is that, you know, all life is superior. And the purpose of Buddha is to save all people from suffering. Buddhist compassion goes deeper than any other institution, any other discipline, or any other religion. Because it's not an exclusive club.
Right.
You can be gay. You can be transgender. You can be anything. Because all life has the right to exist.
Right.
You know? And I was just thinking the other day, right? If you understand that your life is temporary, the best you can do is go about trying to kill him. Come on. You're going to die also. So what point does that make you killing somebody, taking another's life?
Right.
Because nothing you possess in this lifetime can transcend death. And nothing that you do in this lifetime is going to be of any significance once you die.
Mm-hmm.
So why waste your time taking life? Nobody's keeping you from enjoying and having what you want other than the thoughts you are having with yourself, a relationship you have with yourself. Your only limitation is your thoughts. It's not the color you were born, the skin you're born in. And if you allow somebody to tell you you can't accomplish because of your skin color, then you've been allowing yourself to be influenced by ignorance.
Okay, that's a perfect segue into my next question, which is, so when it comes to like being Black and being Buddhist, like how does race relations play into it? How does, you know, Black culture play into it? Because it comes from like Asian culture.
That's just the funnel it comes through, but Buddhism is beyond culture, race, and everything. It's life. And life has manifested in different variations, different colors, different shades, different cultures,
huh.
Right?
Huh.
So people are limited in their understanding of the true origin of Buddhism, right? Buddhism means life.
Mm.
It has nothing to do with culture. It recognizes culture because your culture and your color of skin is your karma. But right? But beyond everything else, right? The common denominator is that we're all human beings. So if you can identify with the truth about who you are, then you can appreciate and respect each other's culture. Because
right.
it's just our experience of the journey of life. I've been Black, I've been born, you know, Black, you know, being an African Cuban, you know, it just happened to, that's my karma, to be born in the place I was born in. But my life itself goes beyond where I am born and what color my skin is. At the root, we're all human beings.
Right.
And if we can get to the core, right, then we can start appreciating the commonality that we all share. We're all human beings. Above being Black, above being white, above being everything else, right? So we're attaching ourselves to something that is temporary and not attaching our life to what is eternal, Life is eternal. Because when you die, it's not the color skin you are is not going to matter.
Right.
You know, right? Right? The status you have is not going to matter. You're born naked, you're going to die naked.
That's true, actually.
We need to get over ourselves and stop limited our identity, right? Your true identity is that you are Buddha, which means you're life itself. So the goal is, you know, the true virtue we call true identity, purity, eternity, and happiness. A tree is a tree because of its roots. If you understand the root of the tree, then you can experience and appreciate the branches and the flowers and the fruit from the tree.
Mm-hmm.
But we get attached to the limitation of the branch or the fruit, and that acknowledging the root. We take the root for granted. And what do we take for granted? Well, we are violent. Our humanity.
Yeah.
Because right now, humanity is just our potential, not our reality. We will act worse than animals. Animals don't kill for pleasure.
Oh, gosh.
We do.
That sounds horrible.
Am I lying?
No.
Right? Animal doesn't kill because he wants to just feel better about himself or feel good. We do.
That just made me so sad.
What the general public know about karma is limited, right? That's superficial. The real meaning of karma is basically this action, right?
Mm-hmm.
So karma is a storehouse of all your accumulative action, past life, present life, and the karma and the action you're taking right now that creates your future life, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in the concept of karma, you've always existed, and you're always creating karma based on your relationship you have with yourself, right? So karma is what you say, thinking, and doing. Simultaneously, as you say, think, and do something, you're also creating the result, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just like when I plant a seed, ultimately that seed is going to become a tree. But in that seed is the effect, the cause and effect. Simultaneity of cause and effect is in that seed.
Mm-hmm.
So what you say, thinking, and do creates what we call karma. And at some point, you experience, right? So you've been here before, and you come back with a karma, what we call a storehouse, a positive and negative karma. And you're in the process of enhancing the positive and changing the negative. You ever recognize that sometimes you just keep on can't get or change something that you, something keep on reappearing in your life? That's your karma, be it positive or negative. Karma is not something that is limited to being positive or negative. It's just the potential. It's a potential. And then the action we take manifests the result. You know?
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, we create so many causes in our thoughts and our thinking, in our thoughts, that we forget that everything that you experienced was your direct creation.
Hold up. So you're telling me everything I experienced, I chose?
Yeah. Yeah, basically. You're the producer, the writer, the director, and the actor and player of your life. You're writing the script either from ignorance or enlightenment, awareness. But there's no acts in life. You choose your parents. Everything about that's the magnificent expression of life. You have ultimate power. And that's hard. That's a giant leap in faith to believe that you have ultimate power. And that's what people are being, you know, stripped of, their power. Because the power is in the people. Change could not happen without people's, you know, participation. You know, evil, the power of evil is distraction. The power of good is clarity. You can say the man is making you do this and that, but no, it's just suggestion. Right? And influence. But at the end of the day, you're the one making the final decision what actions you're going to take and how you're going to respond. That's your power. So the thing is not to give your power away. Take action from a level of having wisdom and insight other than from, you know, reacting or ignorance.
Right.
And that requires that you become the master of your life and you become self-disciplined. That's what we tried to interject in the 60s with the nonviolent approach. That took a tremendous amount of discipline.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Well, the problem is that the so-called oppressor doesn't know himself and the victim does not know themselves.
Hmm.
So both parties are ignorant.
Mm-hmm.
And they're only acting based on what they They've been taught, or they think they know. Because they don't know that they're a Buddha. And they don't know that they're great.
And what does it mean to be a Buddha? Like, we know Buddha, the historical figure. But what if we expanded on that word?
Buddha basically means life, right? And to be Buddha is to manifest the greatness as a human being. Buddha and human being are one and the same.
Mm.
They're not separate. You know, the highest level of humanity is Buddha, is Buddhahood. The highest, you know, expression of humanity is your what we call your Buddha nature.
So ultimately, we should all seek to become our highest selves.
Yes.
And to manifest the highest nature of our humanity.
But that's it. In a nutshell, you just explained Buddhism.
Yay!
Right? But to do that requires a practice, requires a discipline, and a focus. Because the world we live in right now, the world you see, does not propagate this oneness or this greatness. It does not mean it doesn't exist, it just means it's not being made relevant.
We've just been clouded with some other stories, other definitions of who we are.
So you're just limiting your experience if you choose to base on other discipline, teaching, or religion. You don't get to really experience, you know, the oneness. Because there's something, something is greater, and you're looking outside yourself. Buddha said you have to go deep within.
Wow.
Because who you are, there's more to you on the inside than there's on the outside, you know? The skin is just the covering of what's on the inside. And if you look at go on the inside, there's no color other than red.
Well, thank you so much for dropping some knowledge today to our listeners on Quest for Truth. Before we go, would you mind chanting a little bit just so we know what it sounds like?
Most definitely. So it's the words are Nam Myoho Renge Kyo, right? And sound and vibration permeates the universe. So you chant Nam Myoho Renge Kyo, Nam Myoho Renge Kyo, Nam Myoho Renge Kyo, Nam Myoho Renge Kyo, Nam Myoho.